I'm going to share with you how to build your faith, because this is what we need to understand is the power source for our human existence. Faith is the power of God through man. Faith is taking God and His Word, and then taking His Word to the heart of the people. One of the greatest problems we have in America today is that we've left Christ out of our conversations and left the power of faith out of our actions. God says, I'm calling you to action. When I said yes to Jesus Christ, Jesus said to me, Larry Pete, I'm calling you to action. At the time God saved me, I didn't even know how to spell salvation. But he saved me anyway. I did not know what God was talking about. But I can look back now. Can't you look back on periods of time in your life and you say, whoa, that was God. That was God. You and I need to understand that not only was it God, it is God, and forever will be God. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is God incarnate, meaning God wants to reveal Himself to each of us, His creation. So in the process, He wanted to be able to relate to us in the human form, and He comes as Jesus. Jesus is God, was God, and forever will be God. You cannot separate them and be dealing or talking to or presenting the real God. A lot of gods out in this world. A lot of gods you'll have in your own home. A lot of gods you'll have in your own life. Those gods are the little G ones. And today I'm going to talk to you about the big G one. The God of the universe, the creator of all. God created. And He's never stopped. Do you understand that everything that God creates will live eternally? Everything's going to be, well, the world's going to come to an end. Yeah, guess who's bringing it? It's not another nation. It's not this nation. It's the God who created this world. Let's study and focus on faith that God places in our heart and see what He says about it. Look at Matthew 9:29. Jesus said this, according to your faith, it will be done to you. Well, now, wait a minute, preacher. I've asked and asked and asked for something to go on in my life, and it's not there. Well, for one thing, if you ask with the wrong heart, a heart that is not of love, you're not talking to God anyway. You're talking to yourself. Not only does God tell us it's according to your faith that it's going to be, that lets me know that each one of us can be in an era within our life to where we're growing in faith, look back later on and said, I can't believe I didn't get it. That's who we are as human beings. It's not who we are as human beings that God is looking at. God is looking at us human becoming. You and I are going to grow out of this physical body. You know why? We are spirit. You are a spirit with a body. You're not a body with a spirit. Remind us of that all the time. And we will grow out of this body. Some people call it death. The Bible tells me as a Christian you pass over. You pass on. Proper term. But God said, now it's according to your faith, Larry. Lord, I don't know where my faith is except in you. You see, that's the key. You and I are allowing our faith that's in our heart to be a faith on based on what you and I can do. The faith that you and I must have and present to the world is our faith in Jesus Christ who does it, not in us, not in our ability. Don't get to where that you have faith in your ability. Your ability is a gift from Almighty God. Jesus Christ indwells you. It is He who does the good work. You want to know who does the bad work in your life? Look in a mirror. Mark 9, verse 23. Everything is possible for the person who has faith. Well, like what? I mean, what about everything we don't get? Everything is everything. And everything is possible for the person who has faith. Now, listen, folks. Faith is like a muscle. It develops. Faith is the spiritual muscle that we have within our heart. It can be weak or it can be strong. It depends on how much you use it. Now, listen. All of us understand the concept of faith, and we understand that as a muscle, we must then practice our faith, use our faith. It's difficult to do when so many have focused on the muscle of the stomach. We sit in the right chair and we take the remote control and we can lay it right there. And then we shift it from side to side. And we call that exercise. God says, pay attention to the inner you, the strength that I want to give you. Faith is power, but it's not your power. Again, let me remind you of Joshua walking into Jericho. We have the song, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. You can't sing that today because it isn't proper. He didn't fit anything. It sounds good, and I'll sing it like Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. It's the power that was behind him. Remember, for those of you who don't remember this, if you read the scripture, it'll be God talking to Joshua. Joshua, you didn't even fight the battle. I sent the hornet ahead of you, and it was the hornets that I sent that was victorious over my enemy. Huh. Do we not expect then God to do those mighty works within our own heart? How do I show God then that I'm willing to allow His will to be done? I trust Him. I trust God. Trust is not easy in our day and age. Listen to Hebrews 11, verse 5. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. You cannot please God unless you have faith in Him. And faith is displayed. I'm going to show us in a moment how we grow it in the phases. And then again, each Sunday, I'm going to take one of these phases and we're going to break them down. Luke 18, verses, second part of verse 8. However, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? Don't we see throughout the scripture, God had focused on faith. God never focused on my power. He focused on His power through me. He doesn't focus on your power because it is weak. How many times do we say, oh, I'm so weak. I have an addiction and I'm so weak. Then that ought to be a key to let you know that we are weak, but He is strong. And trust Him. It's called faith. Get on our knees and we pray, oh Lord, We ask for your blessing in this time of horror. And then we stand up and we look around and we say, well, that didn't work. You know why people are looking at prayer as not working in their life? They make a statement that lets you know why. They pray, but they never expected it to happen during the prayer. What are you praying for? God, don't pray for me if I'm dying in a hospital, please. You pray asking God's direction, God's power. Say, Lord, I leave it in your hands. I have the faith you'll do what is right. You know why we don't do that? Because we're afraid of what God might do in our life. What if he takes someone we love? What if he goes ahead and says, okay, this bad thing's going to happen to you, Larry. Lord, I'm your servant. Okay, Larry Pete, so serve. Don't we understand the voice that is within us is telling us to stand on the faith in Christ and not on our ability? We have a lot of disabled abilities. And the reason the abilities have been disabled is because we don't put faith into it. As people who say, well, you know, I can't do that because I don't have the ability. Who do you think gives ability? Is it not the God of all creation? Okay. How does God build your faith? Six phases. I'm going to go through this to introduce you to what's coming each week. Phase number one, dream. God always starts with a dream. Now, Ephesians 3:20. God is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hope. That sounds pretty good to me, because my desires go pretty high and my hope is way up there. And the scripture of God just tells me infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. No wonder they call it heaven. God gave Noah a dream to build an ark. God gave Abraham the dream to become a father of the nations. God gave Joseph the dream to be a leader to save his people. Nothing happens in your life until you start dreaming. Now, we need to have the spiritual dreams. For you young folk, it's not about the little sweetie pies over there. Those aren't the kind of, those are nightmares to parents. Those are not dreams. What you and I must do is we must focus on, Lord, give me a dream of you in my life. I want a dream of you and power in my life. Give me the dream, Father, to where I can serve you in the world in which you've placed me for a short period of time. Folks, I'm leaving here, and it won't be very long. I got places to go and people to see that I haven't seen for years and have never met. Did you know that everybody's going to know each other in heaven we never met? Well, I think I like that. As the country parson said, you know, heaven is a place where you meet a lot of people you thought you were getting away from on planet Earth. And he went on to say, and they will be just as surprised to see you there as you are to see them. I believe that. It's a place of the purity of God. So phase one, it starts with a dream. Phase two, decision. Do something about your dream. Well, God has given me this dream. Well, do it. Shut up talking about it. Do it. Get involved with the Word of God and allow the Word of God to be in your life. And the more people that are against what you're getting ready to do, it's pretty good proof you're listening to God. James 1, verse 6, and then verse 8. You must believe and not doubt. Now listen to this. A double-minded man is unstable in all he does. And folks, you got to decide to invest. You have to decide to invest your time, your money, your reputation. You've got to invest your energy focused on God. We got our energy focused in every direction. On play, on getting this, getting that, doing this, doing. We're never satisfied. God gave us a nation that's free, and our own generation has messed it up, losing our freedom day after day after day. And we're saying, well, it's just going to be. Well, it will be unless the Christians called by God get back to faith in prayer and stand up and speak out and do something. You and I are called by God to make a decision. I know people that can't decide to cross a road. Well, I don't know. I got to think about it. What to think about? If you don't go to the other side of the road, you're going to be killed over here. Yeah, but which direction do I go? Who cares? Just get across the road. You got it? That's what we're dealing with. People that can't make a decision. Look at us. I guarantee you there'll either be fussing or great thought put into where we're going to eat. I don't know. Where do you want to eat? Well, I want to eat here. I don't like that place. What'd you ask me for then? You pick the place. I don't want to pick the place. You pick the place. And then we move our bellies. Think of the decision and the problems we have of just going out to eat. You have to let go of security. This is the big thing. And I'm not talking about foolishness. Remember when Jesus was leaving a Gospel of Luke chapter 22, verses 35 and 36, when Jesus is getting ready to leave, he tells his disciples, I was protecting you, I fed you, you didn't want for anything, but now I'm leaving. So I want you to do something. I want you to go and make sure that you have a weapon, a sword. I mean, you had to be somebody in those days to own a sword. And Jesus says, because I want you to be prepared to protect yourself. Why in the world are all these people trying to quote scripture about God does not want you protecting your family? You better protect your family. It's the call by God. He gave me a family and I will protect that family. And we need to really start protecting our children, folks. You want to walk on water? Get out of the boat. You want to walk on water? Get out of the boat. Oh, you know, that water looks good. I think I'm going to walk out there just like Jesus is. Well, go on. Well, I haven't decided yet which wave I want to step on first. That's not faith. That's doubt looking for proof. That's not faith. That's doubt looking for proof. Oh, I doubt you're going to do this, Lord. As soon as you say, I doubt you're going to do it, Lord, you're sinking. But let me tell you about your sinking. Jesus will always be there to grab hold of you. You know why? He is who he claims to be. Phase three, delay. Folks, there's going to be a delay in your prayers. There's going to be a delay in your growth. Nothing is immediate. Listen to Habakkuk 2, first part of verse 3. God says, but these things I plan, they won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. God had the vision for me. His vision. Do you ever notice when you start out in life and start out in the world, you got this great idea, this is what I'm going to become. And then later in life, you find out, I didn't become that. If you're a Christian, you'll find out that God never told me to give him my dreams for my life, and he would straighten it out. No, he never said that. He said, you take my dream, Larry. You stand for my word even if you die in the process. You give your all for my truth. Because you see, I'm a Christian. I win either way it goes. And they can't kill me unless God gives them permission. And if he gives them permission, there's a good reason for me to go on. And don't you all get too excited down here when you hear me shouting. Or you could get excited if the casket's up here and you hear me shouting. People say, you make fun of death. Sure I do, because I'm never going to die. I'm going to leave this world and leave this body, but that's the glory of being a Christian. We talk about heaven, but nobody wants to go there right now. They want their own time limit. Lord, I'll come and see you. I'll check back in with you about 150. No, you won't. Let me tell you about the delay. Noah waited 120 years for rain. It never rained on earth, remember? God tells Noah, build the ark. What's an ark? He said, I want you to build an ark because the ark's going to protect you from the flood. What's a flood? A flood is what happens when it rains. What's rain? But out of faith, Noah built an ark. And 120 years later, rain came. That's faith. Abraham was 99 years old before Isaac, who would become the father of nations. When you're 99 years old, you do not think about having a child. I don't think. My mother's 98, and I guarantee you she ain't thinking about it. Moses saw 400 years of slavery, and then he had to wander in the desert for 40 years. Joseph spent years in prison before he became the ruler God wanted him to be. Folks, it's not immediate. You do not have a voice in telling God what his schedule is for yourself or for him. I have a schedule. Well, what are you doing tomorrow? Larry, I don't even know where I'm going to eat this afternoon. Much less know what's happening. The schedule that I have is God's, right? All we need to do is prepare. Let me tell you about preaching and teaching. A preacher of the holy gospel of Jesus Christ, of the Bible, gets a call from God. Nobody's going to understand it when you say, God called me. Be like a friend of mine said, I don't know, Larry said he's called to preach and I didn't even hear the phone ring. A lot of people will never get it, but the call is there. I know the call is there. Now, once I get that call, to focus on study. I need to prepare. Well, when do you ever graduate? You never, ever graduate. When do you ever graduate in life thinking, you know, when I get to this point, when are you ever going to get to retire anymore? When I get to this part, you know, then everything is fine. And then you get to that age and it's not fine. And then you continue to get to age after age. And then you say, you know, there seems to be a pattern here. The pattern is this: you and I not using the faith power that God gives us. We're getting into our own individual brain power, and I got news for you. We're not that smart. Listen to phase four, difficulty. Now, in all of this that's going on in your life, in your faith and in your prayers, you get to have problems while you wait. All the problem just going to pour in on you. People are going to call you wackos. I didn't even know what right wing meant until 1994. When I was supporting Ron Lewis as Congress, and I had been blessed to get to be there in a part of winning Ron to Jesus Christ. And then I went to Washington, D.C., and was asked, are you a right winger? I chose the right winger I said, yeah, I guess I am, because I was getting biblical. Because at the end of the age, I'm going to set my sheep on my right and the goats on the left. So I was focused. I knew what right wing was. I thought, if that's what serving Christ and standing for the goodness of Almighty God and standing in my faith means, then I'm a right winger. 1 Peter 1:6-7. At the present, you may be temporarily harassed. That's an understatement. By all kinds of trials. This is no accident. It happens to prove your faith, which is infinitely more valuable than gold. Circumstances and critics, you can count on it. There's going to be circumstances come in your life, going to be overwhelming, and the critics will come out of the woodwork. Phase 5 is a dead end. 2 Corinthians 1:8-9. At that time, we were completely overwhelmed to the burden. The burden was more than we could bear. In fact, we told ourselves, listen to Paul, that this was the end. Yet, we now believe that we had this sense of impending disaster so that we might learn to trust. Not in ourselves, but in God who can raise the dead. Ain't that powerful? I'm the child not only of a king, but of a powerful king. Moses and the Hebrew nation were hemmed in. You remember this? They were hemmed in between the Red Sea and the Egyptian chariots. Now, some people prefer bondage, socialism, communism, rather than risk the place where they were hemmed in. You know what it was called? God's hidden treasure. Egyptians here, Red Sea here, and it's called God's hidden treasure. Can you imagine the Hebrew nation standing there? I know, I can read it in Scripture. Moses, what did you take us out of bondage for? Now here we are, we're trapped between the Red Sea and the Egyptians. You know, no wonder that Moses continued from one day, yeah, Lord, wipe them out. The next day, well, forgive them and put the charge on me, because they had been given their freedom and they didn't want it. There's a lot of people that do not want to be free. I will die for my freedom in this nation. Amen. And I will stand for freedom. And I will not stand without speaking against socialism and communism. It is not of God. When you've been freed by God, you are free indeed. But many want to go back into bondage. Why? Because you don't have to think. We're saying, all right, I'll do that. Okay. Well, we can't even move our belly till we ask somebody which side. Think of it. Phase 5, that dead end from difficulty to impossible. They were completely overwhelmed. This was the end. Yet now they knew that that disaster was of God. You know what that tells me? They were exactly where God wanted them. God was checking them out. Oh, you really believe in me? Folks, think about it. God then sends a pillar of fire that separates them from the Egyptians. And God parts the Red Sea. Moses did not part the Red Sea. Excuse me. It was God. It was the power of God. And here's you another miracle. The scripture says they walked across on dry land. Can you imagine how deep the mud would have been in that Red Sea? Oh, God dried it up. Knowing that God dries up our path, why do we allow Satan to dry up our faith in him? They walk across, do fine, till what? Everything went wrong according to them. Would you please, Moses, we've been eating angel food. That was manna. We've been eating this angel food. We need some meat. God gave him the meat. Had the pheasants fly in, remember that? And I love the old English. And erewhile the meat was twinks their teeth, they died. Why do you think that bringing out Lot and his wife, why do you think that his wife turned into a pillar of salt? The faith was supposed to focus on going forward, not looking back. But she enjoyed that life. You and I are running into the same situation in our lifetime here. We're looking back instead of looking forward. And a lot have turned in to pillars of salt. Phase number six is deliverance. God does a miracle. God always loves to take a crucifixion and turn it into a resurrection. Woo! Right? I've seen people counted down, counted out, and then God gets a hold. Listen to 2 Corinthians 1:10. He has delivered and he will deliver us again. Psalm 27:13. I am expecting the Lord to rescue me again, so that once again I will see his goodness to me. You're not going to get it right, folks. I now know the scripture and what it means to me about when they bring you up to persecute you for my name's sake. Think not about what you're going to speak. Don't prepare your little speech, because at that time, the Holy Spirit will enter you and he will speak through you. Isn't that something? God counts us as family. And you don't mess with somebody's family. And you sure don't mess with God's family. And those who do will perish. But those who stand, I'm going to pass over. Not going to die. Do you know what hell is? Eternal death without dying. Think of that. Eternally dying but never able to die. They'll cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them, to cover them, but they won't even fall. God loves us. And it don't get any better than that, Brother Randy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love, for the peace that only you can bring within our heart. Touch us now, dear Lord God, with your great mercy. Forgive us where we've fallen short so many times. Allow us, Father, to truly exercise our faith that you're going to give us in such an hour of need. Give us the words of wisdom. Give us your truth in our heart, that you will be glorified through your Son within us. And it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen.